How does that expression go? Better the devil you know. It's an expression which could easily sum up what is happening in our gospel lesson from Luke this morning. Better the devil you know. Jesus and his disciples are traveling by boat across Lake Galilee. We are told that Gerasa is across the lake from Galilee. This is important. It tells us that Jesus has left his home territory. And there are, of course, other clues in the gospel lesson which point to this as well. The inclusion of pigs as the livestock indicates that we are in Gentile territory, as Jews didn't eat pork. Thus, they wouldn't keep pigs in their fields. It is important because it reminds us that Jesus had a message not only for Jerusalem, but also for the world. The man who is healed by Jesus in our gospel lesson is a Gentile. We're given no information to indicate otherwise. And so Jesus brings healing and comfort to those who are not like us, those who are different. Jesus brings healing and comfort to all people, regardless of place of origin. There is within our text a great deal going on, and there are many questions we could ask. Was the man really possessed by a multitude of demons, or did he suffer from what we would diagnose today as a mental illness? Why does Jesus negotiate with the demons? Why not just drive them out and send them back to the abyss? And why are the farmers and the people of Gerasa afraid of Jesus? Why do they ask Jesus to leave? These are some of the questions and issues which Luke raises in his gospel account that we have this morning. And they are all interesting in their own right, and we'll deal with them and then consider perhaps the larger issue that they point towards. The man who Jesus heals, note that he is the first in the gospel lesson to approach Jesus. It appears as if he is waiting for Jesus to arrive. This is a man who, due to his affliction, has been driven from society. He no longer clothes himself, and the good news says he lives in the desert. Other translations say that he lives in burial caves, a social outcast and pariah, if ever there was one. And note that he recognizes Jesus immediately. He names himself as Legion, or the good news says as Mob, for he was afflicted by many demons. The question of whether he was possessed by demons or suffering from a mental illness is moot. Jesus is concerned with the man's welfare and seeks to restore him to wholeness. Jesus expresses compassion towards him and heals him of what was afflicting him. The compassion and willingness of Jesus to engage with this man is what is important for us today. Jesus does not turn his back on him or ignore him. Nor does Jesus turn his nose up at him as if he were better than him. But why does Jesus negotiate with the demons? Surely that seems suspect. And there are several ideas about why Jesus may have done this. Perhaps in sending the demons into the pigs, which were viewed as unclean animals by those of Jewish origin, perhaps the pigs simply didn't concern Jesus. Of course, this answer is upsetting, especially to the swineherds, as those animals provided a living for them. They cared for them and owned them. So So why come and minister to the people of Gerasa only to insult them? Well, perhaps there is a larger message here. The swineherds were justifiably upset and afraid of what Jesus had done. Does this remind us that the message of the gospel may bring upheaval into our lives? That in order to expel and do away with evil, hate, indifference, and apathy, among other things, we may have to get uncomfortable and give something up. In order to heal a man, some pigs had to die. The good news is perhaps not good news for everyone, because it challenges us. It can be a difficult message. And there is within Luke's gospel today an overriding sense of fear. Those who have just encountered Jesus are afraid of him. And their fear is so great that they ask him to leave. They have just witnessed Jesus heal a man. It's resulted in disruption in their local economy. What else might Jesus change or challenge? The people are unwilling to find out. And so Jesus is asked to leave. Note that they don't ask the man who was healed to leave, just Jesus. For his part, this man who was healed asks if he is allowed to follow Jesus. And Jesus tells him, no. You can't stay with me because I want to send you out. You must tell people what God has done for you. And what does this man do? He tells everyone what Jesus has done for him. This man recognizes Jesus as God, and he goes out and he proclaims it. I wonder how people reacted to him. After all, only moments ago he'd been crazed and living out in the desert, living in burial tombs. How did they receive this message from this man when they were so afraid of Jesus that they asked Jesus to leave? Is the presence and power of God something that we should be afraid of? Should we be afraid of what Jesus can do in our lives? And perhaps the answer lies in whether we are truly willing to live up to what Jesus asks of us. If Jesus did show up today, we might all be in for a shock. Many of our assumptions, mine included, might be tested. And I wonder how we might feel about that. Within Christianity, you may have heard of the seven deadly sins. There was a movie, I think, in the 90s with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman. A little horrific, but dealt with the subject. But these sins are listed as pride, envy, wrath, gluttony, lust, greed, and sloth. And it is this sin of sloth that I want to talk about briefly. Sloth is often referred to as laziness. But in actual fact, it is closer to spiritual boredom. When we are not willing to engage in our faith, to grow in our faith, to be challenged by our faith, we are guilty of sloth. We have become spiritually bored. We need to engage with Jesus, to engage with the gospel, to challenge our living and our assumptions, to constantly look for God's truth in all things. It is easier to remain still to stay unchanging than it is to grow in God's love. However, only God is unchanging, the same from age to age. And God calls us to love and to live within God's grace. In order to do that, we cannot stay the same. Accepting God's free gift of grace moves us towards change. We should, I think, be fearful of God, but not terrified. Fearful about what might happen if we don't live within God's love and mercy. Fearful of the world which will be created without God's love. Fearful of the world we live in because God's love isn't being shared enough. God shakes things up through the grace which we have been offered. The message we have in Luke's gospel today is one of mission. Jesus leaves Galilee and he heads across the lake. He goes to the other side of the tracks. And we are also called to go outside of our comfort zones in order to engage in Christ's mission. The message we share about Jesus will bring opposition. As we read this morning, some people were afraid of the healing. It disrupted their work, and it would have caused economic hardship. They recognized that their lives would be changed, and they weren't willing. We will face that same type of opposition when we share God's word. Living as a Christian today is not easy. We don't get to walk around and say to people, well, you had it coming, or to be indifferent to the problems of the world. That's what the enemy wants us to do. We are called to step out of the boat on the opposite side. We take the mission of Jesus to heal and to comfort. We take that to those who have been ignored, who have been marginalized by society. We care for and are compassionate towards all people. It doesn't matter where they were born, what their social or economic status is, what their gender is, or what their sexual orientation is. We are here to care for and be compassionate towards all people, those we like and those we don't. We are called to love our enemies, to embrace them, and to find a third way. To recognize that even in our difference, we can still care for and love one another. In doing so, we free ourselves and our neighbors from cycles of distrust and separation. The question we must ask ourselves is the same one that the people in the town of Gerasa had to ask. Do we prefer the devil we know to the freedom we do not? Amen.